to the Mountain Nerds Podcast. My name is Caleb, and this week we are talking about the Marvel Cinematic Universe. But I can't do it alone, so I found this bro in space with the gauntlet. He's an Infinity Bro. We have Jarrett from the Infinity Bros. Jarrett, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm excited. This is kind of my forte, so I feel like I'm very prepared for this one. So let's get it going.
Awesome. Well, can you tell us a little bit more about the Infinity Bros and how, just a little bit more about yourself as well?
Yeah. So, it's a group of guys, and we started out doing some, stuff after we left college together, and it was originally called the Off Topic Gamers. And we tried to do a podcast while we streamed. So we would play like Fortnite or whatever. And, that was horrible. We would just lose our concentration, and like if battles got intense, we would just completely forget everything we were working on. So after a while of trying to force that, our buddy Max said, hey, let's just do a proper podcast. So we talked about it for a while, what we wanted to do. All of us are into sports, so we're like, do we make this a sports podcast? And we kind of landed on just like a discussion about the media that we were consuming. So the big thing is like nerd culture, movies, video games, stuff like that. But we touch on a ton of other subjects as well. And around the time that we were starting this, I mean, Marvel was really getting into the swing of finishing up that first arc. And so we were like, you know what, let's just name it the Infinity Bros and we'll roll with that. So yeah, check us out if you're into anything geek culture, from video games to comic books to the Marvel movies. We talk about it all.
Awesome. Yeah, I love Marvel. I mean, I remember going, starting to, because I really never was into the comic books. I mean, that wasn't me, but I had my first taste in 2008 when my dad said, my dad used to read all the comic books. I mean, I have comic books of his in a drawer somewhere around my apartment, and it, like, these old comic books from like the 60s, 70s.
That's the best, man.
Oh, it's awesome. And so my dad originally brought us, because he knew of Iron Man, you know, he would read all these comics, and so he was so excited when Iron Man came out. So he brought us to it, and wow, I mean, it blew my mind. I knew nothing about this, you know, and I'm sitting here like, wow. This is back when I was, I think, 15.
Yeah, that movie is a ride.
And I'm looking, and I'm like, this is amazing. This is just awesome. And then they started, you know, doing these, then you had the Hulk, and then you had all these other movies, and it got bigger and bigger and bigger. Me and my dad would make it a tradition that we would go see these movies together. So for, I mean, 10 years, we would go, before me and my wife moved, we would go see all these Marvel movies, and it became kind of a tradition with us. And, you know, it's really cool to think of the, you know, you go and see, okay, this is just a comic book movie. But for me, these movies are about my time with my dad. I got to go do that. I got to, that's something that's close to me, you know, and now that I, you know, me and my wife, hopefully we'll have a kid soon. We're adopting, people should know from listening to our podcast. That's something I want to continue with my child, because, you know, MCU doesn't seem like it's going anywhere anytime soon. So,
yeah, man, it's got sticking power right now. That's great. Cause I think for a lot of people, that's the case, where it's like, yeah, these are awesome superhero movies, but it's also the memories that are attached to them. Like, who were you with the first time you saw Avengers? Or like, how did you share these experiences with the people around you? I know my sons are huge fans of Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, right? And like, that's a very formative movie of their childhood. And they're going to remember that, not just this cool Spider-Man movie, but like, this is the movie they would always watch with dad. Now, granted, that's a movie I've seen like 150 times at this point.
It's so good. That opening scene, you know, it gets me. I'll watch it. I'm like, oh, this is just so awesome.
Dude, that movie is great.
It is. So going into the movies themselves, what would you say is your all-time favorite? We'll stick with the MCU.
Sure.
What is your favorite that has come out so far? And we'll just kind of stick with the films as well. We won't really go into like the TV series for now. We'll just stick with that.
That's good. I think we do kind of like, as MCU fans, I think we do kind of ignore the TV series a little bit. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is pretty good, but the rest of them are very hit or miss. As far as my favorite...
Minus Daredevil, because
Daredevil is great. Okay.
Daredevil is good.
Just let me get on my soapbox for 2 seconds here. MCU, if they don't bring back Vincent D'Onofrio as Kingpin and Charlie Cox as Daredevil, they're doing everything wrong. Like, people are going to go nuts if that doesn't happen.
Yes.
As far as my favorite movie, though, this is so hard because Endgame and Infinity War are definitely up there. And so I'm trying to, like, balance those between my all-time favorite movie right now, which is Winter Soldier. Mm-hmm. And it's so hard because, like, I rewatched just for fun, and since we've been in quarantine anyways, I went back and rewatched the whole run of all the MCU movies.
Oh, wow.
And I think it's still got to be Winter Soldier for me as far as my favorite. Like, that movie is just solid, and I like the whole, like, spy and espionage aspect of it, and the distrust feels really cool, mm-hmm. because this is the symbol of America, and he's starting to learn that, like, maybe it isn't what he thought it was. And I always thought that was, like, a cool, like, James Bond-esque film. as far as the worst, and, like, okay, so there's two answers to this. There's the Incredible Hulk movie, which a lot of people don't count that as an MCU movie anymore. They're like, well, yes, it is technically, but, you know, we don't count it.
We can ignore it.
Right. And if you've listened to the Infinity Bros, this is probably a while back that I said this, but... actually, no, I think this was even before the Infinity Bros, when we were still trying to do it on Twitch. I had a very hot take that I still get a lot of heat for about Thor the Dark World. Now, I will say that is probably the worst MCU movie. Like, I'm not defending that, but I don't think it's as bad as people give it credit for. Mm-hmm. Watching it again, there's a lot of character development between Loki and his family that I think is great, but that movie is hot garbage. Like, it's not good. So yeah, those are my best and worst.
Jared, that's actually, we'll jump with my worst. It's the first and second Thor movies for me. I just, and it's Thor, both Thors. But I have to say, for me personally, I don't know, some people agree, some people don't, but I did not like Captain Marvel. I don't like the character of Captain Marvel. I was bored. I was sitting there. We were at the drive-in, because we have a drive-in theater that we go see most of the movies. And I was sitting there playing on my phone the whole time, because I was like, this movie is boring. It really is. There's not a lot of, like, depth in it. It's more of, this is what's happening. She's traveling to the, you know, this is set in the 90s.
It had the opportunity, because I've seen so many reviews on this, and, like, mm-hmm. even in the Infinity Bros, we're very split on this. Mm-hmm. I'm on the camp that, like, it's still not the worst movie. It is bad, but it's not the worst.
Yeah.
I think it suffers from, one, like you said, it's very boring and very slow. And two, there's like a sequential order that they could have filmed this in. And the way they piece it and try to jump back and forth feels very much like they're trying to do a Christopher Nolan type thing. And it doesn't pan out. Like, it's so very awful.
It's very, what you're talking about is very forced. Mm-hmm. It's very forced. I just don't like that.
Now, so going, I totally agree with your critique. Sorry.
Oh, yeah. Going to my favorite, I would say my favorite, and I know, once again, a lot of people don't agree with this. I liked it, was the first Guardians of the Galaxy. Mm. For me, that was honestly the first one that I went to theater. I laughed my butt off the whole time. Man. I like Chris Pratt. I'm a big Chris Pratt fan. Going in and watching that, you know, that was really the first movie that we got comedy, you know, like mm-hmm. that. I won't say they really forced comedy down your throat, but kind of, but it worked, you know.
It was a bigger, characters. It was a bigger part in that movie than any other MCU movie at that
point. Oh, yeah. And I just enjoyed it. I enjoyed that, you know, we're going from having just one, you know, one main hero that we're going to focus on. We have, like, what is it? I think it's five. It's five of them, right? Yes, five. And I don't know. I just, something about it, it was fun. And, you know, we had all the serious movies. And of course, you know, I love Iron Man. We won't talk about Iron Man 2, but I love the original Iron Man. But I think Guardians are just my favorite. Now, the second one was to me. I mean, it was good, but it wasn't my favorite. I just really just enjoy the flow of the movie as well. You know, it flowed really absolutely. Well. Had great characters. I mean, there's a freaking raccoon.
Yeah, dude.
You know, you have to love it. So we'll move on to our next question. Who is your favorite hero within the MCU?
So I am, and this kind of stems from my comic book background as well. Mm-hmm. I'm a huge fan of Hawkeye and Clint Barton. I do think there's, like, there's a through line in the comics that's very different than how he's portrayed in the MCU. But especially after Endgame and them bringing Ronan into the forefront, that was like, man, I was here for this 100%. I wanted to see that. Like, I told you, I just recently rewatched them all, and and the first opening punch with the scene with his family, and he's like panicked, looking around for them, and then you see the flash from that to him as Ronan, and like, just really the horrible things that he's done because he's like, these criminals survived the snap and my beautiful daughter and my wife didn't. Like, that whole thing, like, as a parent, that hit me so hard. And so even though, like, he's not one of the big, you know, one of the big three, or even like, one of the most popular characters, he doesn't get that much film time, I still think he's so far up there. Right. And there's Age of Ultron is a movie with a lot of issues that we could get into at a different time.
Yes.
But there's a great moment in that where he's like, I carry around a bow and arrow and I'm like fighting next to Thor and, you know, the Hulk. Like, I don't know what I'm doing.
But that speaks to his character, though, like you're saying, because he is just he doesn't have any special power except for being accurate with a bow. But he's fighting against the most powerful heroes, you know, in the universe. I mean, that speaks volumes for that character.
He is like just a dude. And there's, I recommend this to everybody who asks me, like, what comic book, if I were to pick up a Marvel comic for the first time, what would it be? And like, I have my traditional answers of like, you know, if you're really into superhero stories and big events, you know, go look at the original Civil War, go look at House of M, all this other stuff. But if you want just like a good soft book to open up with, that's like not too much pressure on having to know all these characters and stuff, grab Matt Fraction's Hawkeye, because it is the story of like him as just a dude, like trying to live life. And like, also he's an Avenger. So like, how does it look for a guy who has no superpowers to be on this team full of superheroes? Great run. I recommend it for everybody.
Oh, nice. Nice. I think going for me, I'm a big Iron Man fan. I know he's kind of like the, obviously the main, you know, main guy, but I just like his character. I love the fact that he's just a smart guy who he builds, he puts things together. He uses his brain to obviously, and a suit as well, but a suit out of his design.
Right.
And he has to figure, obviously they all do, but specifically for Iron Man, he kicks everything off. And he uses his brain to fight some of these villains, you know, these bit like the Adrian Killage.
Can't remember his last name.
Killian. Thank you. And he was smart about it, you know, and it's just I just love the personality's cocky and, you know, but then he has this just amazing character arc, you know, throughout the entire thing. It's just this turning from this very selfish, you know, individual to this, you know, like person who sacrifices himself to save everyone. It was just such a just awesome story arc. And that's why I like him, because I think he probably had the most character development.
Yeah.
In the whole MCU.
There's a lot of like little things along the way that point to that journey. Even like In the first film, the opening of that film is him with those soldiers, and he tells them like not to throw up peace signs or whatever. And if you pay attention, every single movie after that, whenever he's taking a picture, he throws up the peace sign in honor of that soldier. And like the way that they structured it, where he is the opening shot of the MCU, right? Like he is the one who starts everything. Obviously, like chronologically, we know that's not the case, but like I think they did it right when they gave him that piece at the end of Endgame, where he is the one who saved the world. He's the one who made the sacrifice play. And I think like one, that's a testimony to Robert Downey Jr. and Kevin Feige and all these people who put in that work. But like they developed that character so well that we all felt it in that moment. Like there wasn't a single person when I went to go watch that in the theater that didn't like audibly gasp at that part, because he earned this. Like they all earned this through the character development that took place. And he's a great character in the movies.
Yeah, it's actually really cool because he does experience that, you know, you got the first couple movies, then you have First Avengers. He sees the aliens.
Right.
And then the next movie, he's experiencing fear, you know, then you have that, like, he's scared, and then you have that. And then we have this whole little arc about his parents, you know, in Winter Soldier or in Civil War,
Wow. Oh, sure, sure, yeah. Yeah, okay.
Oh, my brain is not working. So he has that little arc. And then, obviously, he has the whole stuff in, you know, Infinity War mm-hmm. and Endgame. And they stuck a bow on him. He did an amazing job. He will be missed. Yeah, but I'm sure he'll we'll get references of him again at some point. So, but yeah, that's a long way to say he's my favorite. He's
solid
always
pick.
Been,
solid
yeah,
pick.
Always been my favorite. Okay, so let's see let me ask you this too. What is your least favorite hero? What is the one that you're like, oh, they could have just left him out?
Okay. This is a controversial take, and I've gotten in so much trouble for this in the past. It is fully and 100% because of James Cameron's Avatar, but I have a really hard time taking Zoe Saldana seriously as an actress. I think she has the chops, but after seeing that movie, I can't, like, unsee the level of, like, just, like, that movie was so... I know a lot of people love Avatar, so I, mm-hmm. again, I know this is a controversial take, but I hated that movie, and I hated her acting in that, uh-huh. and so... Sometimes the stuff with Gamora really falls flat for me. Yeah. And I'm like, why? Like, why is this happening? And then to kill her off and then bring her back with that original, like, just bad attitude and everything. I'm like, dang. Like, I was finally starting to like this character by the end of Guardians 2 and then obviously going into Infinity War. Like, why would you kill? I mean, I understood the need to kill her mm-hmm. off. But, like, why would you bring her back as, like, the original version that's, like, so annoying to me? But... Again, I know that's a hot take. I know I'm going to get flack for that.
Look, I feel you. I'm probably going to get a little flack for that. Well, I don't know. It depends on who you talk to. Because once again, I think I'm going to go back to Captain Marvel. I just don't. I mean, I get it. She's like the first like real female lead. But it has nothing really to do with that. It just has to do with her. Her personality is just like arrogant. There's a level of arrogance there. Like Iron Man was arrogant, but he learned. Like, yeah. I think he had that realization. It was like, wow, you know, he has some character depth. She didn't learn. She was arrogant through the whole thing.
I think there was a level of like development that needed to take place in that first movie.
Yeah.
And I think it was so rushed that we didn't get to see enough of that.
No.
And I don't know what happened with Captain Marvel that made it the way that it did. Again, I like. She's so well written in the comic books that I give it a pass in the movie, but if you don't have that to fall back on, it feels really weird. And especially to say like she is this like universal superpower. I mean, like mm-hmm. she absolutely destroys everything in Endgame, but it's like, okay, but we didn't build to that. We have no investment in this beyond this okay movie.
I don't like that because it feels like she was literally they just hurry up, rushed her movie just so she can have that appearance in Endgame.
Right.
And it's not like she really did all that much in Endgame. It was actually kind of I was personally disappointed because it was like I expected her to be this major character in Endgame. And how much screen time did we actually get with her? Like 10 minutes, maybe?
Yeah. Yeah. It was and like it was, the 1 minute in the beginning and then obviously the fight at the end and yeah there was a lot more that they should have built there.
Yeah, it was really disappointing because I would have liked to see her in Endgame and we get a little bit more character development. I mean I guess that's what we're going to get out of the sequels,
right?
But for me it just that character felt really, you know, I could take it or leave it, you know.
Sure.
It's just,
fair
it's
enough.
Just to me it just wasn't a character with any depth. Unlike, you know, some of these other characters we're getting,
Understandable. Totally understandable.
Absolutely. So going future, now we're going to go ahead and jump kind of to the future here. Who would you like to see in the MCU that hasn't already been announced?
As far as like, okay, so we know he's getting a TV series mm-hmm. and whether or not that'll fold into the MCU is remains to be seen. But Moon Knight would be the clear answer for me there. Beyond that, I would love to see, and they kind of talk around this, but they don't actually talk about this character at all. I would love to see one of the Nova Corps, like either Rich Rider or Sam Alexander. I don't care at this point. Give me either. But like, especially now that Xandar is gone, we know that it was wiped out mm-hmm. leading up to Infinity War and Endgame. I want to see what these guys look like as the last Nova. like Nova Prime or the Black Helmet Nova. Give me those stories. And they've been building sort of this roster for the Young Avengers. You know, we have Cassie Lang is now grown up. We're getting Kate Bishop. We're getting likely the twins in WandaVision. So like now that we have these younger characters, give me Sam Alexander Nova and throw him in there. Like if I could pick between the two of them, it would be Sam Alexander.
Oh yeah. I want the Fantastic Four. I want it.
Done well, though.
I want John Krasinski as Mr. Fantastic. And that's, I will be disappointed if that's not the case.
They've been putting him in the comics, which is buck wild to me, but like, I want to say it's War of the Realms or one of those where they literally draw John Krasinski as Mr. Fantastic in every panel. And I'm like, did they know something we don't?
I saw like just the fan art pictures of him, and I'm like, holy crap, this is Mr. This is Fantastic. Perfect. We need a redemption for the other Fantastic Four movies and that were there. Yeah. I want Doctor Doom.
Good Doctor Doom. Yes, please.
I want a good Doctor Doom. And they can make Doctor Doom Thanos level, you know.
Yeah,
crazy. They could build them
like,
up.
They weren't afraid to put Wakanda in there, even though it's not a real place. Give us Latveria. Show us that this is like, because they make him a like savvy businessman and all the other ones and like this brilliant man, but like make him a literal ruler of a country with unlimited resources, like a massive overinflated ego, but like the power to back it up. Give us that Doctor Doom.
Let me ask you this. Who would you like to see if they did a Fantastic Four? Who would you like to see as the three other characters?
As like the fan casting?
Or who's your fan casting for The Thing and...
For Invisible Woman, I've heard people talk about having Emily Blunt on there, right? And at first I was like, I don't know. Like, that's his wife. Like, would that be... I don't know how their chemistry would be on stage. And then we got Quiet Place, and I was
yes,
she would knock this out of the park.
Oh, yeah.
As far as Human Torch and Thing, dang, you kind of put me on the spot here. I don't know. I'd have to get back. Maybe like, okay, this is a controversial take. I would say like get a professional wrestler for The Thing, but it'd have to be somebody who can like really act, somebody with chops, like maybe a John Cena or something. You know what I mean? Like somebody who's built like that and have them... get all, you know, rocked up and stuff.
They should get The Rock to play this.
I don't know why that didn't like immediately. That's perfect.
And then Human Torch. Who would you think?
Human Torch. It's hard to find. Okay, here's the other thing. Is like it's hard to find actors who aren't already in the MCU.
Yeah, true.
It has to be somebody who's like good looking and can play a good hot-headed character. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think, man. Like, okay. Maybe this is just my personal preference because I want to put Shia LaBeouf and everything, but like maybe Shia LaBeouf in that role.
I could see that.
Taking it even a step further than that, and like maybe that's not what I should be doing, but we'll go with it anyways. One of my favorite arcs for Fantastic Four, because I'm kind of meh on them in general, but have you ever heard of the Future Foundation?
I don't think I have.
It's this school that they start where they bring in all these different kids with like superpowers and stuff, and mainly it's their kids, but... during this time, the Human Torch is gone. So to replace him on their roster, they have Spider-Man in their Future Foundation suit. It looks great. You should check it out. Mm-hmm. But anyways, they have things set up now where like Spider-Man now doesn't have Iron Man to learn from. He doesn't have that guiding light. And so if they were to introduce the Fantastic Four, throw Tom Holland in there too and be like, okay, this guy needs somebody to learn from. And here's this amazing group of superheroes that can lead him down that path.
Yeah, that's actually really cool. That's a good idea. I would also, I'm kind of interested, and I don't know, this is moving away from the Fantastic Four, but someone who I really want is Anthony Starr from, people may know him from The Boys. He plays Homelander.
Yeah.
Which, caution if you watch that show, I'm just going to go ahead and slap that's that warning.
It's wild, yeah.
It's pretty wild. It's pretty gory. I can't in good conscience recommend it, but...
Yeah.
I watch it.
I understand. But
the one that plays Homelander, I want to see him in the MCU. He's a really good actor. He does that so well. He does it very well. Maybe like a Silver Surfer or something. I see, like, I'm jumping back to the...
No, I got you.
I am looking forward to, the movies coming out. Now, out of all of them that they have announced, which one are you looking forward to?
I'm, like, chomping at the bit to see Black Widow. Also, I still haven't seen... why am I blanking on the name? New Mutants. That one I'm really looking forward to see, but it's AMC theater release only, and the nearest AMC theater is like 6 hours away, I think. So that's not happening. But
yeah.
Black Widow looks great. Shang-Chi is a character that I know not enough about. And like, I've been reading comics since I was like, you know, my son's age. And I think I've seen Shang-Chi as like a guest appearance in a bunch of other comics, but like, I want to see what this character is about and what he can do beyond just like, yeah, he's good at Kung Fu. Like, cool, but what's his story? And the actor that they have for that, I follow him on Twitter, and he's the funniest man on earth, honestly. So yeah, that movie looks great. I'm super excited for Shang-Chi.
Now, with Shang-Chi, did they announce that they're going to actually do the Mandalorian or the Mandalorian? Did not mean to say that. I have Star Wars on my mind.
I gotcha.
The
Mandarin.
Thank you. I almost said the mandolin and I was like, that's an instrument.
Yeah, the mandolin. No, so like, obviously there was the big reveal in
Iron Man.
But they've been subtly hinting at like, no, that's not really the Mandarin. And I thought it was cool, like how they made the Ten Rings this terrorist organization, but like still have this as like, well, maybe the real Mandarin is out there somewhere. I believe that is confirmed as the villain for that, but I don't know that for sure. I don't know if that's a rumor or an actual confirmation, but like, that's a great villain to throw into that. There's a lot of like,
I would love to see that
racial insensitivity where they really have to avoid some things from the comics to the movie. I think they'll have to be very clever in how they do that, but it's definitely possible.
And I think Disney's really good about doing that.
Absolutely.
Like, very inclusive, and especially with like Eternals coming out, they try to include like, you know, just different, I guess, character types from different cultures and different beliefs and stuff like that. So it's really interesting how and that is one that I'm looking forward to seeing is the Eternals. I don't know a lot about the Eternals. I don't. And so that one's going to be really cool. I'm also really, I know we still got quite a bit of time, but I'm really looking forward to Blade. I want a good, I need a good Blade. So, and I like how they just recasted the guy from Luke Cage.
That whole, like, the funny thing is, like, it's hard for me to picture anyone other than Wesley Snipes as Blade. And those movies are horrible, awful movies in the best possible way. Like, it's like, I hate those movies and love them at the same time. But like, to see this character done well and not done like Wesley Snipes is going to be really cool. And Mahershala Ali, that's who it is, right? It's Mahershala Ali.
Yes.
He is like, man, he is a stud at acting. He like, knocking it out of the park, 10 out of 10.
Oh, yeah. I was actually kind of sad that he wasn't in the full first season of Luke Cage.
Yeah, for real.
Kind of like five episodes in, it's like, all right, he's gone.
Yeah.
But I'm looking forward to these movies that are coming out just to kind of see, okay, we had the Infinity Saga. Where are we going with this as a whole? And I think they really have some really cool things coming. I mean, I'm looking forward to Doctor Strange too.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm wondering if in Doctor Strange, because it's supposed to be like multiverse stuff, is this how we're gonna get X-Men?
So my guess is it's one of two things. Either it's Multiverse of Madness, we get them, or more likely the case is I think it has something to do with WandaVision. There's a comic run called House of M, which is famous for Wanda goes crazy with grief. And during this process, like, she snaps and loses it, which lines up with her losing Vision, right? We know that she is in a very dark place and like, she's hurting. And so in House of M, she makes the whole world forget that she destroys all mutants. Well, first she makes it a mutant paradise and then she destroys all mutants, and that's a whole thing. So my guess is because of the level of her reality bending, there's something that's revealed in WandaVision where it's like, no, mutants have been here all along. The X-Men have been here all along, but we all forgot about it because of something she did. But
that would be interesting.
Like you said, there's also a cool method where they could be like, no, this has to do with Doctor Strange in the multiverse, and that's how they get here. Either way, I think it's cool. I think they have a lot of like potential and room to run.
Now, I'm going to be disappointed if it's not even hinted, because then I'm like, well, this is your opportunity.
You did all this for nothing. Yeah.
Do it. I mean, the whole multiverse thing, it has to be something. You know, it has to be, they're going to get them in. Another thing that I think is very interesting is that Thor, we're getting another Thor movie. I think everyone just kind of assumed that after Endgame, the originals were kind of getting pushed aside, and nope, Thor is coming back. And I think I read an article where Chris said he wants to just keep doing them. He loves it so much. Yeah. He's just going to keep doing it as long as he can, because it's just, to him, it's enjoyable. It's a good role. And I think the same for, I'm just guessing here, I bet you it's the same for Samuel L. Jackson, how he just wants to play Nick Fury.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I will, let me retract my earlier statement, because for some reason, I don't know if it's because I've had a really long day, but I totally forgot about Thor: Love and Thunder. That is the movie I'm so excited about, because Taika Waititi is like crushing it. He's my favorite director right now. Mm-hmm. And then the storyline that they're, again, it's Taika Waititi, so he'll do whatever the heck he wants.
Oh, yeah.
But the storyline that they're loosely following is based off of the, oh my gosh, who does that run? I can't remember, but it's where they have a female Thor and everybody's trying to figure out who the female Thor is.
I know exactly what you're talking about. It is the Secret Wars, right? Is it Secret Wars?
So she's in Secret Wars. She's in their battle world thing, but it's before that even. I'll see if I can figure it out. But Thor run is basically post original sin. Something happens that makes Thor unworthy, which, like, we've kind of gotten that already in the MCU. Mm-hmm. But somebody else takes up the hammer to defend Asgard. And, like, the whole thing is like, oh, who's this new female Thor? And you find out pretty early that it is, I am blanking today.
Jane?
What's her name? Jane Foster. Thank you.
Jane Foster. Yeah.
And that run is honestly one of the best Thor runs I've read in a long time. Mm-hmm. Both, like, his point of view with Thor being unworthy and her point of view of, like, her navigating this world that she's so unfamiliar to. It's great.
Oh, yeah. I'm also looking forward. I'm pretty sure they're going to bring back the, what is it? What's the rock guy?
Oh, Korg?
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
I loved Korg, man. I also love the fact that it was like the first two Thor movies were like, and then we have the Ragnarok was like, oh, this is freaking awesome. Like, why haven't you guys been doing this?
Off the wall. And like the fact that, so Marvel is like not afraid to take chances. Uh-huh. And when you see somebody like Taika Waititi and his resume, I like, if I were Kevin Feige, I would not be like, yeah, let's give this guy Thor of all the properties. But like, it paid off so well in the way that they did that. And his just like irreverent and great humor. And then like throwing in Jeff Goldblum and the rest of the cast on that was just amazing. And I'm excited to see what they're going to do, because from what I understand, they're kind of going the Asgardians of the Galaxy route, where like we might see crossovers with Taika Waititi and James Gunn doing this together. And like,
oh, I'd love,
man,
it.
I am here for that 100%.
I am totally about it. So I did want to take just a minute just to talk. Obviously, everyone knows about the passing of Chadwick Boseman. He was a tremendous actor. I've really only truly ever seen him in that one role as Black Panther. That's the only thing I've ever seen him in, to be honest. But just in that role, he did irreplaceable, number one. Yeah, and it's just like such a great, you know, I read that he was a really great guy, first of all. And then like he did such an amazing role when he was going through a very painful cancer, you know, when he was suffering, he was there working out, getting ready, you know, like doing these scenes. My question for you is, Black Panther 2, they haven't really officially canceled unless something's popping up before this. Right. So we do record these podcasts a little early. So if something does happen by the time you're hearing this, as of now, Black Panther 2 is still in the lineup. So I'm kind of curious where it's going to go. What are your thoughts on what the MCU, you know, where is Black Panther going to go? Because I still think that they need this movie. I think Black Panther 2, just to to promote African Americans, you know, I think that's really important to have diversity.
Yeah.
And so I want them to still have it. And then I think to just scrap the movie completely would be kind of a dishonor to
absolutely
his legacy, you know.
I think Chadwick talked about this multiple times, where like, I think even before anyone else knew how big of a cultural event this would be, he knew from the start. And so like, you watch the interviews as he's struggling through this illness that none of us knew about.
Yeah.
The way that he speaks about his characters and the developments that he makes through the MCU and his other films is like, he's really on the forefront and understanding like what a cultural movement these movies are.
Yeah.
And
absolutely.
So to cancel Black Panther 2 would be pretty rough. I was excited. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I was excited for a future where like we would have things like the Illuminati, which was the big powerhouses of the MCU, meeting together and like, you know, changing the world events and like him having a seat at that table.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously now that that's not the case, I think moving forward, there's a very delicate line that they have to cross. People have been talking about recasting that character. I think that's absolutely wrong.
Yeah.
I don't think you recast that.
I agree 100%, because that's not doing that. Like, it's not doing a service for him. You know?
The options I've seen put out there are you have Shuri step up into that mantle, which I think would be great, right? Because she's shown that she has the intelligence and the maturity to lead this as her character. And like Letitia Wright, I believe that's who plays her. I'm sorry if I butchered that. She is like a very charismatic actress, and I think she could carry that role very well. The other ones that I've seen is like Killmonger somehow survived and he's okay, and he's the new Black Panther, which I'm kind of meh about that.
Yeah.
And then the last one that I saw is M'Baku as Black Panther, or not as Black Panther, but as the leader of Wakanda, which would be sweet. Especially because he's traditionally a villain, but the way that they wrote him was just amazing and incredible. And that actor knocks it out of the park as well. I think it's so hard, because how do you address the fact that like this actor passed away? How do you do that respectfully in this movie?
Yeah.
And how do you give people who are fans of this universe time to mourn in the movie without bringing the whole movie down? Right. Because they have to address that, like, the king is gone. I think that's a very delicate line to cross.
Yeah.
Now, granted, like, the creative team behind Black Panther has done things above and beyond what any of us expected. So like they can handle it. And I trust Kevin Feige with just about anything at this point. But personally, out of the three options that people have been talking about the most, I think Shuri is the one to go with.
Yeah, I do like Shuri. I think that was my original thought, too, was I thought, well, are they going to bring Michael B. Jordan back? The characters were like mirror images of each other. And so obviously, it would kind of make sense. I didn't think about M'Baku taking the role because that would actually be really cool for character development wise. Because it was like they were kind of butting heads the whole movie, and then they were kind of friends at the end, you know, kind of. And it would be really cool for him to step up and, you know, like, I want to honor the king. You know, I would love to wear his armor. I would love to step into this role. But I think absolutely canceling that movie or just, you know, pushing it to the side, I think that's a complete injustice.
A bad move, yeah.
I don't think they should. I think they should find a way to, like you were saying, be respectful about it and, you know, bring whoever takes up that lead mantle, whether it be Shuri, whether it be whoever. They need to, you know, bring what's the word I was looking for? They need to bring closure and just make it, you know, honor his legacy. That's what I'm trying
Absolutely.
To say.
Absolutely.
And I think they can do it. I mean, I think they have some really good cast of characters. It would actually honestly be interesting, too, to see. I cannot remember her name. She was in Michonne in The Walking Dead. She was the...
Oh, yeah.
It would be honestly kind of cool to see her step in the role, like a female to step into that role. That would be, you know, besides Shuri, but, you know, like, that would be really sweet. Because didn't she play, like, the guard? She was, I can't remember her
character's name. Yeah, she was the head of the guard. Oh, my gosh. I just watched this movie last week, too. But either way, like, I think you bring up a good point. And you talked about it a little bit with, like, the overarching meaning behind what Black Panther meant to a community, but even more so, like, not only to see a person of color leading the charge as like one of the big heavy hitters in the Marvel universe, but also like a woman of color, right? And like, I have nieces who look up to these different heroes, like, you know, Wonder Woman, like Black Widow, like all these different heroes across all these different genres. And, you know, most of my family is majority culture white. I have a lot of Native American family as well through my wife, but like, you don't see a lot of these female black superheroes. And so for somebody who's a little girl growing up, who's like, you know, I don't have somebody who represents me. If they see one of those two fill that position and is a major powerhouse in the MCU, that gives them something that they've never seen before, which is amazing and incredible opportunity.
Absolutely. I agree with you 100%. I think that would be such a, I think first of all, that would honor his legacy and, really take it to another level to say, okay, this, you know, we're trying to promote, I won't say promote, we're trying to show that, you know, people of color, you know, can play a major role in these movies and that, you know, it, I think I love it. I absolutely love it. You know, I think that's, I love when they cast diversity because they need it. I mean, we truly need it. We don't need all the same, you know, because that's not how the world is, you know? But
that's not what Marvel's about either. I mean,
like, exactly.
If you look at Marvel historically, and I think this is the success behind things like Uncanny X-Men back when Chris Claremont took over, is like, these are stories about people from very unique and different walks of life. And like, they're no less a superhero because they're not majority culture, whatever the case may be. In fact, sometimes it's their unique perspective that gives them an edge over everybody else. And so the MCU is doing a very good job paying respect to that. Obviously there's better things and more things that they can do, but that would be a step in the right direction for sure.
Absolutely. Well, we're going to go ahead and quickly move on to our next segment, which is our generally our pick of the week. So Jared, I will let you go ahead and tell me what is your pick of the week.
All right. So this has been crazy. I live in a small community in Montana and we've been hit hard by COVID this week. So we actually went back into lockdown.
Oh, man.
And at the same time that this happened, both my TV and my PlayStation are broken, which are like my go-to for everything. So I haven't been able to watch Netflix or Hulu or anything like that because my phone is a hot mess. So I've been cracking up open some old comic books, and I've talked about this recently on the podcast, the Infinity Bros as well. But there's two comic books that I've been digging back into. One of them is called it's two series. It's Ascender and Descender. And they're by Jeff Lemire, who is a fantastic comic book writer. But it's the story of basically like the end of the world in this sci-fi future where robots rule everything. And like, what happens if suddenly all the robots are gone? And it sounds very cool from like an action standpoint, but it's an actual, it's more than that. It's like a very powerful story about family and how family doesn't always mean like blood. Kind of a peek behind the curtain of who I am as well. Like, I was adopted and I come from a mixed family as well. So like those stories of families being built from nothing or like finding these relationships that are, that are important to you that go beyond blood are important to me. And then another series that I've been digging into, and this is by my all time favorite artist, a guy named Scotty Young, is called Middle West. And the whole premise is like, what happens if the Midwest is also this like weird sci-fi community? And it's this kid who runs away from home. And there's some like, I won't spoil it, but like he runs away from home and he's going on this adventure across the Middle West. And like, it's beautifully, beautifully written. The art is absolutely gorgeous. And likewise in that one, on the surface, it's just like this fun romp that this kid takes where he meets like this girl who builds robots out of scrap cans. And like he has this pet fox who follows him around and yells at him all the time, like Rocket Raccoon style. but there's also this very powerful message of like the cycle of abuse and anger that people go through, especially kids who are raised in very difficult environments. And so it on the surface, it's this really cute and fun story, but there's this whole deeper level, like, I'll be honest with you. I'm not a very emotional person in general. I'm not one to cry at movies, but like, man, I bawled over this comic book. There's like the last issue just wrecked me as a parent and as like somebody who's seen these things firsthand. So check that out. It's Middle West by Scotty Young. It's a fun book, but it also has a lot of serious undertones that like maybe are a little subtler under the surface. Check both those out.
Yeah, for sure. That's awesome, man. I'd love to pick up more, you know, I do a lot of not reading, so I don't like reading books. I have a thing. I struggle so much with reading books, but I feel like if I were to pick up like more comics, I would actually like put down electronics and actually sit there and read.
Spend the time on it. Yeah. I totally understand.
Which I can. I used to read like all the, go through like the Walking Dead.
Those are good. Yeah.
I would sit there and I would read them. I love them. I love doing. And my buddy was like, well, you know, there's a site you can go to and look at them on your phone and you don't have to. I'm like, dude, I can't do it.
I get so distracted. Yeah.
I can't do it. Cause I'm like, Twitter. <Yep.
laughs> Facebook message. Let's
yeah. I think my pick of the week this week is, a game called No Man's Sky.
Oh my gosh. Yes.
I've been playing it.
Man, I am with you on this.
I just picked it back up. Not a few days ago. Well, when you're listening to this podcast, it's been like a month now, but sure. I've been playing like pretty much nonstop for the last couple days. They just introduced the Origins update, which added volcanoes, which added clouds, yeah. Lightning storms, meteorites. They added sandworms. They actually have sandworms, like awesome. Boon sandworms. That, like,
that's great.
I was like, whoa, this is awesome. So I jumped on and I was playing. I was like, I was determined on stream to find a volcano planet. And so I sat there and I was like, I'm going to find one. So I just galaxy jumped until I found system jumped until I found a volcanic planet. Got there, volcanoes everywhere. Ground starts erupting. Dude, it's awesome.
So I played, I bought it at launch, which was like a horrible
vanilla
idea.
Yeah,
that game was hot garbage when it launched. And they have continued to, like, I did not expect them to put in the time in development.
Oh yeah,
especially for unpaid DLCs. Like, you've never had to pay a dime for any of
12
this.
12 of them.
12. Yeah, they like 12 and DLCs. And each one is like a whole brand new game. Like,
oh,
it
yeah.
looks vastly different from how it started.
Well,
I've been trying to like get back into it, but again, my TV broke. So I was like, oh, I have a VR headset. I'll hook up and play it on PSVR. That is the worst possible idea. It's great when you're on the planet. You can shoot stuff. You can mine. That's fantastic. The moment you get into your ship,
it starts.
When the ship controls are so clunky.
Wow.
And two, I have like wicked motion sickness. And so like everything's dipping past you. And God forbid, like you look left or right. It is so jarring.
And you can't play in, I'm assuming you can't play. Well, obviously it's all first person.
Yeah, you cannot play in third person in the ship.
Wow.
And there's no option. Like, you can't use a controller when you're playing because it's the VR Move controllers.
Yeah.
I would love to have an option to switch to a controller for the ship combat because you literally have to, like, steer. You can't see, you guys listening to the podcast can't see this, but, like, you have to move your hands to steer.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you get bumped a little bit or if your sensor's off, you just get yanked across the screen and it is, like, instantly vomit-inducing. It's so bad.
Oh, wow. But I will say, you know, one of the reasons, like, I was like, you, I bought the vanilla game and I was like,
right.
This is not what they said it was going to be. And I know a lot of people gave Hello Games a ton of flack for it,
yeah.
But I will say that is a huge redemption story. So if you're out there you're listening to this and you were like, I'm not playing that because, you know,
they lied to me about blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. Right. They said that I read Facebook comments like that all the time. And I'm like, give them a chance. They redeem themselves. They
look
more
it,
than
bro,
redeem
yeah.
themselves. They said, you know what? We said that we were going to do something and we didn't. So we're going to do it. And they spent, the game came out, what, 2016, I believe?
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
I think it was 2016. I could be wrong. I'm actually going to look this up real quick so I'm not giving false information.
Like 4 years of development with no financial incentive. Like, they don't see much more in sales than they did back then. So like, for them to continue to develop this pro bono, and not only develop it but like develop it incredibly well. Like, I think the last update I played was when they first introduced the mechs, which was I think last summer or something.
Yeah.
And like, that was fantastic.
Cool.
I can't
so cool.
can't even imagine what this new update looks like.
So yeah, so 4 years that they have spent since August, I just looked it up, it was August 29 or August 2016, excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
And they have been putting out content like crazy for the past 4 years for free. All you gotta do is own the game. And honestly, I think I picked it up at a GameStop for like $5 when it
they're super cheap.
Super, super cheap. And I just highly recommend it. It is one of the best redemption stories from a video game company. And now they have stuff. They have one that me and my buddy LJ played, Desolution, something like that. It was where there's like a derelict ship in space, like this big old freighter, and you could land on it, and it's like horror themed. So you're like walking around, and there's like the aliens like all over the freighter. It's like it's like dead silent. And you're like,
that would be crazy in VR.
And you're also going very slow. I'm doing what you were doing.
Sure. Yeah.
you're moving really, really slow. And so it's like you can't move fast. And you don't know when aliens are gonna pop out. And right. it really did pick up some of those like Ridley Scott kind of horror, you know, alien kind of horror. Awesome.
Yeah, for sure.
It is awesome. But yeah, like I said, the newest update just came out. They added volcanoes, they added all kind of new environments. I've been playing a ton of it on stream, so go feel free to go check out on our Twitch page. There's a few clips that I have from the streams if you're interested, just to kind of give it, you know, am I gonna like this? You know, it's not, I know it's not for everybody, but the game does have a lot of meat in it. I mean, it's
For at minimal, like $5, at most like $20, because I've seen this at the bargain bin at Walmart, right? Like for $20, just to experience this once, to me is worth it, right? And if you can get it for $5, even more so.
Do you have like a planet that you've landed on that you were just like, this is nuts?
Yeah. So I'll have to see if I can fish out. Again, my PlayStation is like on fire. But if I can fish out some of those pictures from the hard drive, I will. But there's one that was like the whole world looked like solar panels. It was this clear glass and it was like hex shaped. And even the trees looked like that. They were like fiber optics with these hexes on top. Fuck wild, dude.
Wait, I think I actually go to. So the planet that he landed on, Jared, if you want to go look on my Twitter real quick and just go down. I actually took a picture of that planet.
Did you really? Okay.
Hold on. Of that
those are like, because those were not around when I first started this game, and so I was like, dude, this is buck wild. And so there's a few of them like that. Even like some of the more irradiated planets are just crazy cool. Yeah, that's exactly it.
Yeah, so you're gonna where it's like the vines.
Yeah, it's the yellow trees and the
it's like the like nerves coming out of the. That's what kind of reminds me of like brain nerve or brain stem and stuff. It's super weird. I think the craziest planet I landed on was a planet that I actually named Xenomorph because I landed on it, and it was an alien planet. It had all the vines, like and then it had like these things called humming eggs, and if you shoot the humming eggs, these
and they burst out of the ground. And
yes, the whole planet was covered full of them. The whole
That's
planet.
Great.
I was like, this is a nightmare planet. And I have taken some pictures. So if you go to the Mountain Nerds Twitter, you can actually see some of that. Just scroll back through and you can see some of the pictures that I've taken. And it is nuts.
Man, I gotta get back. You've like granted, again, my PlayStation is like on fire right now and I have a huge hole in my TV.
Oh wow.
This is the joy of having like two boys. They just break everything. But I gotta figure out a way to get this going. Yeah.
Yeah, well Jared, if you get it rolling and you can get it going, hit me up and we could do some co-op stuff. Because one of the things that for those who've never played it, they've actually when they first announced it, they said, oh, it's gonna, you know, they kind of alluded that it was gonna be co-op, and it wasn't. And
it was not at all.
I think on update number 5 or 6, they said, you know what, we're just going to do it. And so now it's actually cross-play. So you can play through with PC, Xbox, PlayStation, and you can actually, you know, play together. And it's pretty sweet. Me and my buddy have played. That's when we did the spaceship together. Yeah. And it was really fun.
Damn, that would be sweet. I played, obviously, at launch, you couldn't play multiplayer. And then it was sort of an iterative process where, like, me and my buddies, when they said, like, okay, we finally got multiplayer working, I got my buddies. I was like, all right, let's go do this. So we found each other. And it was different. It's different instances back when, I think this was like the 4th update or whatever. And you don't actually see their character or anything about them. It's just this floating orb. And I was like, well, okay, this still isn't multiplayer. But it's way different now. It's like a whole different game. And you can actually interact and you're in the same instance. So, yeah, it's worth checking out.
You can take pictures. They have like a really great photo mode. I've been snapping. Like, I'm not even one of those people that, like, when I play games, I don't do a lot of photo mode, but lately I have, just to like post, you know, post content. But it has been one of those things where, like, I get to play with some of my buddies and we have a blast. Absolutely. Every time we play.
And like showing off your new ships and your new multi-tool is like awesome.
But yeah, so go check out No Man's Sky. Highly recommend it. That's our kind of seal of approval there. But I think that about wraps up the show. Jarrett, I thank you so much for coming on. Where can they find you at?
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me. So obviously I have my own personal stuff, but more important than that, just check out the Infinity Bros wherever you get your podcasts. You can find us on Twitter, on Discord, on Facebook. We've been on Twitch quite a bit lately. I've been trying to stream, but like everything else in my life, my computer's broken too, so that's fun. But no, we also have theinfinitybros.com if you wanted to check out all of our stuff through that. We have links to everything there, so those would be the best places to find us.
Awesome. And you can always find us on our Twitter at Nerds Mountain, our Instagram at Mountain Nerds Pod, and Facebook at Mountain Nerds Podcast. We also stream on Twitch as well at twitch.tv/Mountain Nerds Pod. So check us out, have fun, go check out the Infinity Bros. You guys always put out some really cool stuff.
Well, thank you. That means a lot.
Yeah. I really enjoy it. We're great, great community of, I love, especially doing this, getting to form those relationships with other,
absolutely,
Christian nerds. It's fantastic. So go check them out, check us out and enjoy. And that wraps up the podcast. Stay nerdy, everybody.
Bye.